only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And here I thought I wouldn't have anything to talk about today. You know, the draft is over, the rookies are here, we talked about that. OTAs are starting with usually not a whole lot of news in OTAs, not a whole lot going on. You know, you're kind of in, I'm not going to say autopilot to training camp, but you know, you get a feel for some things. But usually not a lot of breaking news in the NFL in the month of May. Well, not here. Not at the Timex Performance Center. Obviously, a lot of stuff to talk about from the Giants' first OTA yesterday, the first being an unfortunate injury. Fullback Henry Hanoski going down with what was an apparent leg injury, and they'll take a peek at it. Still waiting results of the MRI and the test. We'll see what's up with Henry. Obviously, if he's out for an extended period of time, that would be a big blow. He turned into a very effective run-blocking fullback, in his second year with the Giants. And frankly, there just aren't a lot of traditional fullbacks out there anymore that can get signed to replace him. You're going to have to wait until guys are cut in August. And then you bring somebody in for 2 weeks of camp. They have to learn the system. Even if they're as good of a player as Henry is, which is no guarantee there could be, they have to learn the system and figure things out. So that could affect the Giants' running game. You could go more 12 package, 12 personnel, with two tight ends on the field. But again, it's not the same because you're missing that battering ram fullback that Henry Hanoski had really turned himself into. A pretty darn good player, really. So the Giants keep their fingers crossed, hope the injury is minor, and Hanoski will just miss a few days. Even a couple weeks would be okay at this point. You never want anybody to miss the OTAs, but as long as he's back by training camp, you'll be okay. So the Giants keeping their fingers crossed there. Now, and this was in all the papers this morning, this was the bigger story, Akeem Nicks not in attendance in the first day of OTAs. The Giants, quite frankly, don't know why he wasn't here. There are reports out there on, I believe it was Pro Football Talk and Yahoo. The New York Post indicated this as well, I believe, that it might be that he's unhappy playing out the 1 year left on his rookie contract. Don't know if that's true or not. You hope it's not. You hope it's something else that kept him away that maybe the Giants weren't made aware of. But we'll find out in the coming days why Akeem Nicks was not here for the first day of OTAs. And if as reported, but again, we don't know if it's true, it was some type of contract deal. Akeem, are you serious? You have a year left on your rookie deal. You're going to cash in next year whether it's as a franchise player or as a free agent. You know the Giants are having enough trouble dealing with a wide receiver that's actually a free agent of Victor Cruz and getting him signed back. And now you go and say, I'm not going to show up without a new contract, even though you already have one. I mean, come on. Let's be real. Come on. There are better things to do than that. And if that is the case, I'm a little disappointed. And you could hear it in Tom Coughlin's voice yesterday and Eli Manning's voice yesterday. They're disappointed too. I didn't think that was something Hakeem would do. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully he is not attending OTAs because of a contract and it's something else. But we'll see if those reports are correct. You hope that's not the case. A couple other interesting things. At linebacker yesterday, you had Mark Herzlich line up as a starting Mike with Spencer Paysinger and Jaquan Williams on weak side and strong side. So I thought that was interesting, too, that Herzlich right now appears to be ahead of Connor on the depth chart, but that might just be because Herzlich has a better feel for the system since Connor just got here this season. I thought that was interesting, too. And Aaron Curry trying to work his way back as well. Got with some personality. So could be fun dealing with him, and I know a lot of fans are rooting for him. But again, he's not a middle linebacker, really, candidate. He'd probably be playing the outside a little bit more. Then you have Keith Rivers, of course, too, on the outside. So all those things going on, and we'll be taking your calls to talk about it at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat as well. Let's start on our phones and go to Joe in Long Island. Joe, what's going on, pal?
John, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning. That was a good rundown. Hakeem. You know, these guys, it's not what I wanted to say, but these guys, I mean, they have such great endorsements available to them playing in New York. You know, it works in their favor. I guess now it's not as big as it used to be because it's, you know, everything is so available in any market. But anyway, and I know it's only been one day. Any of the drafted free agents, undrafted free agents, stick out when you see them up close, whether it be size-wise? And what does Cooper Taylor look like in person?
Well, in terms of just size and speed, the linebacker of Ohio State, Etienne Sabino, seems like he looks the part of an NFL linebacker. Whether or not he can play remains to be seen. As for Cooper Taylor, tall, long kid. A lot of people thought, just based on his measurements coming out of college, oh, maybe we could move him to linebacker, but he is not a linebacker body type to me. He is a safety, and if he can run with tight ends down the field with his height at 6'4", he could be a real weapon covering tight ends down that seam.
So intriguing. I mean, 6'4", safety. Maybe, you know, they're going the way of the Seahawks. What's the kid's name that's back there that's huge?
Oh, Cam Chancellor?
Yeah. Yeah, I was intrigued by that pick very much this year. And, hey, John, I look forward to the rest of the show. It's been great. I'll be at camp.
Nice.
At some point. So look forward to meeting you.
Joe, look forward to seeing you. Please call at any time, man. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. 201-939-4513. Back to our phone. Say hey to Steve down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal? Hopefully you're not late to work
morning,
this morning. What's up?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what exactly is the truth behind, you know, Hakeem not showing up to camp. And I was just in shock. I couldn't believe it. You know, everybody's been advocating that here we are. We got to get him signed before we get Cruz's state contract. Everybody's just supporting him through his injuries, you know, and this is what we get. You know, I mean, this man's under contract. What has happened to fulfilling your contract? You know, I was really surprised to hear that this was, contract related. Is that accurate information?
Well, honestly, the Giants at this point, as far as I understand, and I've kind of asked around a little bit this morning, they don't seem to know why Hakeem Nicks wasn't here, because he has been here the last month working with the team in the voluntary training program. He's been around, so it was really quite a shock when he didn't show up for that first OTA. And even though some reports say it's contract related, and obviously whenever somebody is, you know, quote unquote, not showing up or holding out, you're going to think it has to do with the contract. But frankly, the Giants really don't know. And that's why I think when you heard Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin talk yesterday, Steve, they seem so disappointed and annoyed at the same time. So I don't think the Giants know yet, and I'm sure they're pretty excited to find out.
Yeah, I took that very personal. I feel bad for Eli. I shouldn't have to answer those questions, man. That's just ridiculous.
Well, and it's the last thing the Giants want to deal with. They're already dealing with Victor Cruz, you know, their top playmate, one of their top playmakers at wide receiver. And now the one guy you thought you already had on their contract for this year and you wouldn't have to worry about, now he's not showing up. So clearly this is something that the Giants just don't want to have to deal with at this point.
Yeah, I don't think we deserve that. But, you know, on a different note, I know you guys were just talking about, you know, what these players look like. I mean, is it just me? But I'm not really, man, these guys need to get in the weight room. Everybody needs to get in the weight room, especially Cooper. But our linebackers look small, too. The guy we just picked up, you know, the fourth from the draft pick a few years ago. He's the only linebacker that looks like a linebacker to me. I'm afraid for these guys. Like, dude. Really? You need to get in the waiver. What's going on with the strength coach?
Well, look, Paysinger and Williams are more of the, you know, weak side chase linebacker variety. So that's what their body types are going to be. Rivers has a legit linebacker. He can play strong side. He can play middle. I wouldn't worry about Rivers. And Herzlick and Connor in the middle should be okay as well. But you're right about the draft picks. Look, Hankins is a big kid, but I think he needs to, you know, get a little stronger. The third-round pick, no question about it. He needs to put some weight on. And Pugh's got big arms, but I feel like just like his overall width, he just needs to become a little bit heavier. You know, you got that offensive line body where you know, I used to talk to Sean O'Hara about this all the time, and he called it the offensive line belly, where it looks like the guy, like, has a stomach and he's fat, but it's really just, like, solid muscle. And that's where you have that strong base where you're going to create some space on running plays.
Yeah, well, I don't think Dio's going to give up his position easy. Not one bit. I think he's going to have his best year ever, personally. And I'm looking forward to the competition. And, you know, I just pray that Hakeem shows up today and, you know, we can put this past us because, like I said, we need to get crews signed and get ready for the season. So hopefully we can get it together here soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
No problem. Bye, and you're right. Pugh's going to have to work for it. This is not going to be something that, you know, he's not going to be handed this job by any means. No question about that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to John down in Florida. John, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Johnny?
I just heard you guys talk on the Knicks thing a little bit,
yeah.
But just wanted to kind of just say, do you think it could have a good side to it with him? I mean, obviously it's bad because of the reasoning, but with him, you know, having injury issues, does it kind of almost give a good side to it so it gives him extra time to heal and some of the new guys some more reps in the OTAs?
Well, look,
I'm kind of curious to see what Lewis Murphy's going to be doing, too.
Even if Knicks was here, and that would be preferable, if his knee was still banged up, they wouldn't make him do anything he wasn't able to do. And frankly, I would be a little nervous that his knee still isn't 100% and he can't do everything, first of all. I think that would be a little bit of a concern. But, you know, there's really – it's hard to find a positive in being here because even if he's here and he can't work, these other guys are still going to, you know, be out there and get some reps. And is it important for Eli Manning to get some more chemistry with Drell Jordan? Sure. Is it important for him to get more chemistry with a Lewis Murphy, who's new here? Yeah, and Ruben Randle, second-year guy, no question about it. And those guys getting work is a good thing. But they would be getting that work even if Hakeem Nicks was in the building. Is it more snaps with Eli as opposed to the backup? Sure. But if you want to find a silver lining, I guess that's it. But the last thing you want to have to worry about is a Hakeem Nicks contract when you already have Victor Cruz not here because he's not signed yet.
The last two things I just wanted to quickly touch on is,
sure.
Does anyone know what's going on with Fainovsky with his injury, if it was bad or if it's just kind of like a day-to-day thing? With
MRIs are pending, and there are no results yet. When they are in and we know what's up, you'll see the information on Giants.com.
Okay, and B, what's going on with Ramsey Barton? I heard today he's, like, doing a physical with you guys.
You know what? I was actually going to talk a little bit about that. I can't confirm if Barton's going to be here if the team doesn't release the information. Frankly, I don't know if it's true or not, but a lot of the media reports is that Ramsey's Barton will be back in the building taking a physical and could be back with Big Blue. I know the Ramsey's Barton fan club out there will be quite pleased about that. And I think it's just a lot of insurance, frankly, for the Giants at wide receiver, considering the issues they're having with Cruz and Nicks, which I guess is not a bad thing considering Barton does know the system.
I was going to say, at least he knows what he's coming into, so we don't have to worry about that.
Sounds good.
All right, take it easy, John.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man. 201-939-4513. Shakes is down in Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, Joe?
What's up, dude?
Nothing much. Paul was on yesterday.
Yep.
He was talking about you know, which Giants player you really want to see break out. And I called twice yesterday. Because, of course, you know, my first thing was my linebacker. You know, I'm Aaron Curry. And then I was listening, and he had a good point about Cooper Taylor with the straight line speed coming in the blitz and how, you know, he reminded us of Seahorn and all that. So, I mean, I'm hearing good things about Cooper.
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure where he gets, well, besides the obvious, I'm not sure where he gets the Jason Seahorn comparison. To me, they're two different players at different positions, and I don't know. I'm just not sure I see it.
Right. He just said that he emulates his game. He looked up to Seahorn. And,
oh, yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. But about the rookies built, like, in our program, in our training program, they'll get bigger, so I'm not worried about that.
Yep.
And Akeem Nicks, I'm not worried about that neither, because the big word of the day is voluntary. It's voluntary. I know that he should be there, but he got time and down with Eli. We don't really need him right now. Now, if it's mandatory that you have to be there and he's not there, now we start to worry.
And that is an important distinction to make, Shakes, and I'm happy you made it. And I didn't say it early in the show, which was my bad. This is a voluntary thing. These players don't have to be here, so Nicks isn't going to be fined if he's not or anything like that.
Exactly.
So obviously it's an annoyance that he's not here. But is it some critical, essential thing that could cripple the season? Certainly not.
No. But that the when I called twice yesterday, I wanted to bring up somebody else, but I forgot.
Who's that?
And the breakout player that I'm looking forward to, and I think he's going to really kill, because I think he's going to fill in for that Mario Manningham shoes, and that's Lewis Murphy. Lewis Murphy got blazing speed, and you know me and my pops love speed. And, I had a question for you.
Sure.
Since, you know, you there and you get to see up close and personal, I don't see. But they said that David Wilson was really taken serious to the pass protection part of his game in the offseason. Did you see any progress in that from what you've seen so far?
It's really hard to see in OTAs because there are no pads or anything like that, so it's hard to see exactly where he is in terms of his pass protection. But I know, you know, end of last season he improved in that regard, and he was hoping to get a lot better again this year so he can be that every down back and maybe even be a third down back where he can not only catch balls out of the backfield but protect the passer. But not really much I could say about it this early in the game, Shakes.
Okay, and last thing, because he brought up Hinoceros getting hurt.
Yeah.
So if he's out for the season, are we looking to bring Joe back? Martinick?
Joe Marnick. You know what? Marnick's a fullback, Shakes, but to me, he's not a fullback in the same mold that Hinoski is. He's not that bigger battering ram type of guy. Marnick's more the guy that can pass protect a little bit. It reminds me a lot of the other Rutgers player that came out a few years ago, Leonard, who I believe plays for the Vikings now, Leonard, I think he does, and where he's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield. He'll pass protect, but he's not your classic battering ram. Oh, Bengals, right? He's not your classic battering ram type
Leonard,
of.
Right?
Yeah, Jim Leonard, exactly. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Brian Leonard. It's Brian Leonard, I believe, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's the kind of mold he's in. So
exactly.
We need somebody like how the Jets got Connor, the Terminator.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fullback we need. But all right, thanks for taking my call, man. It's always a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Shakes. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good morning, pal. What's going on?
Well, the last thing I said to Paul yesterday, after he was kind enough to keep me on the line longer than I deserved, was let's have no injuries. And oh my gosh, look what happened with Hinoski.
I know.
But here's a point on Hinoski, and I've been wondering about this for a couple of months. You know, you keep looking at the depth chart as they're signing guys and so forth, and there was nobody behind Hinoski. John, how can you go through an offseason with OTAs having a 90-man roster and not have a backup? I mean, who went in at fullback yesterday after Henry left the field?
Well,
I mean, that seemed ridiculous.
Len, remember, Bear Pasco did start at fullback for this team for half a season. So if you're going to have a backup for Hinoski, it is Bear Pasco.
Well, but if you look at their depth chart, John, Pasco is lifted at a tight end. I know what you're saying. And actually, from the fullback slot, John, Pasco blocks better on the move than he does in line, I think. You know, amateur scout that I am. I think he blocks better on the move. But it just seemed to me that to see, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys on the depth chart. Look at quarterback, you know, five guys on the depth chart at quarterback and nobody behind Hinoski. If he goes down in a practice like he did, you can't have nobody behind him. But anyway, okay, hopefully he's going to be okay. He's a fine player, and I don't know if he's a Pro Bowler, but he's a darn good player and seemed to be coming into his own at the end of last year, and Eli was even throwing him the ball a little bit, you know, so that was great. Let's hope the guy's okay. Now, Nicks, you know, I'm wondering whether or not Hakeem's actions, he's eventually coming in. Heck, he may walk in today, John. Who knows? You know? I'm wondering about lingering injuries with Hakeem.
Hey, Len,
you know, nobody
knows better. Len,
hold on
one second. I just want to break some news here. We just got some word from the Giants PR department of Pat Hanlon on Henry Hanoski, and I will read this release in full. Update on Giants fullback Henry Hanoski, who injured his left leg during Wednesday's OTA workout. Hanoski underwent an MRI Wednesday afternoon and was examined by team physician Dr. Russell Warren at the Hospital for Special Surgery. The examined test showed that Hanoski suffered an injury to his medial collateral ligament and a chip fracture to the lateral plateau. Not sure what the plateau is in the knee. Hanoski will undergo surgery on Friday to repair the ligament and the fracture. The surgery will be performed by Dr. Warren. And this is a quote from Henry. "I'm going to set my mind to being ready for the first game of the regular season. They said," I guess I'm assuming meaning the doctors, "that it is not an unrealistic goal, and I will do everything in my power to be ready for the start of the season." So there's your Henry Hanoski update. Obviously, it could have been worse. ACL season ender would obviously have been the worst case scenario there. But the fact that, I mean, it doesn't sound like he's going to be ready full bore to start training camp, which, as you mentioned, with that another fullback really on the roster, that could be a concern.
Well, we're probably going to go out and sign somebody. And that is good news. And I'm proud to say that I was on the show when you made when you indeed made that announcement. And that's good. And let's hope the guy gets back for a lot of reasons, not just because he's, you know, we really do need him at fullback, but you never want to see anybody get
good
get,
kid, too. He's
injured.
A really
so
good
we go
kid.
Out, we go out on the street, and we try to sign somebody. Like, can I go back to Knicks for just a second, John?
Go ahead, Len. No problem.
Yeah, okay. You know, the lingering injury is what got me concerned, and I'm using your words this morning about, you know, his possible injuries. He would have been held out, and, you know, nobody knows better how they really feel. You know, you go see the doctor, and the doctor gives you an opinion and so forth, but, I mean, you know, John, the individual knows how they feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we can't blame Hakeem. Maybe he's not feeling real good. And maybe he says, man, I got to get this contract now, because if I'm out half the season, if I can't suit up on a Sunday, every other Sunday, whatever it turns out to be, and they see my knee in this kind of condition, and then I'm not good long term. I'm making up a lot of stuff here, John, but the point is...
Yes, you are.
look, the point is, I think the lingering injury in Hakeem's mind has more to do with his staying out than anything else. I think he's worried. I think I would be too, John. I would be too. I'd be concerned about my injury situation. You wonder about the durability of this guy. You were going to give this guy $50 million for 5 years? I mean, we were going to hold him out of the first OTAs. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation for him. He's a terrific receiver. I hope he's fine. I hope he gets his money. I want him in there. I want to see him in a Giant uniform, but... you know, from a personal standpoint, I'm worried about what he's thinking about that injury.
That's fair, Len. That's fair.
Okay. Hey, John, thanks for taking the call. Thanks for the good news on Henry that it's not season long. And we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Len. John. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And Len did do a lot of stretching there with the whole Knicks thing. Could the injury in his back of mind have something to do with it? Maybe. But, again, he's been here for workouts, so I don't know. But would I prefer Hakeem Nicks to be over that knee injury, be in participating full in the OTAs? Certainly, that'd be nice. But you always want to be careful, and Hakeem Nicks is a gamer. And hopefully that knee is not going to be a chronic thing. No reason to think that it is. It should be important to note that. But one more time, the Henry Hanoski news. He will undergo surgery on Friday on an injury to his MCL, that's his medial collateral ligament, and a chip fracture to the lateral plateau in his left leg. The quote from Hanoski, "I'm going to set my mind for being ready for the first game of the regular season. They said that it's not an unrealistic goal, and I will do everything in my power to be ready for the start of the season." So there you go. 201-939-4513. Let's go to JD down in Virginia. JD, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
What's up, JD? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. How's everything been with you?
Everything's good, JD. What's happening? Looking forward to the long weekend.
I think we all are.
Yes, we are.
You know what? I'm going to jack everybody's mind up right now.
Oh, boy.
All right. Check this out.
What do you got?
You know how we look at the depth chart, and, of course, they probably have 90, almost 90 players on the roster.
Sure.
I look at people like Chris Adams, Jeremy Horn, people like Brandon Collins. Is there any – what are the, like, realistically, what are the chances of these – players at, because in my mind it always seems as though, okay, we know that the main five players are going to be Randall, Nix, Cruz, now Lewis Murphy. It's just like I'm trying to look at all these other players that are tall receivers, because yes, it's better to throw to a tall receiver instead of a short one.
Right.
But like you have Chris Adams, who's 6'3", you have Jeremy Horn, who's 6'2", same height as Reuben Randall. And, of course, Lewis Murphy, who is a burner, I understand that.
Right.
But the hook of it is, what is the possibility, like, of a Kevin Hardy, of a Brandon Collins, of a Chris Adams? What is the possibility of those people actually getting the opportunity to make it to the NFL as actually being a part of the Giants, not just on the practice squad, but as, you know what I'm saying, almost blazing through like Victor Cruz did. You see what I'm saying?
Honestly, because, yes, I think for one of those guys to make it, JD, you're probably going to have an injury to one of the top four or five guys, because I know he's not a tall guy, but he was a third-round pick. It's only his third year, and with Victor Cruz a question mark going forward, Gerald Jernigan is not going anywhere anyway, and I think the Giants do expect him to step up and contribute a little bit this year. So those guys would be given an opportunity in the offseason, whether it's in the OTAs or minicamp or training camp, to show the coaches what they can do. If they show that they can be a better target than Lewis Murphy, they can be a better target than Gerald Jernigan, they'll be given an opportunity. But I think there's a much better chance there in the practice squad than on the active roster, like you mentioned. If I had to put a percentage on it, what's the chance one of those free agent wide receivers is on the active 53 on opening day? I'd probably put it down around 5 or 10%, and that's only because of injuries.
Wow, you sound so optimistic.
Well, you know what, though? It's not that I'm pessimistic about those guys. It's more that I'm optimistic of the guys that are ahead of them. And you usually can't carry more than five receivers, sometimes six, on your active 53. And I think the Giants are pretty confident and secure in Cruz, Nix, Randall, Murphy, and Jernigan. And I think it'll take a lot. It's not impossible, but it would take a lot for one of these undrafted guys to pass them on the depth chart.
Okay, that's the same thing when I look at, as you can tell right now, I am on Giants.com, which is the leading source of Giants news.
No question.
You're welcome for the plug.
Good plug. Good plug.
But what it is that, I mean, I look at the depth chart as far as the people that are out there as far as cornerbacks, and you do have some 6'1", some 6 feet. You have a lot of 5'9". And I understand you have this short and fast, but are there any possibility that people like Junior Murtaugh, who's a 6'1", you got, what's his name, that's only pretty much besides the main ones. All the rest of them are like, they seem to be short and fast. I mean, I'm 5'10". I'm taller than these cats. But, you know, but it's just really interesting to me because at the same time I've looked at different depth charts and I guess in my mind I'm thinking that you want to have at least a corner that's possibly like maybe at least six, at 6 feet. Because, you know, when you're going to people like Megatron, who's like, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
And Des Bryant.
You know what I'm saying? And Des Bryant, you know, you want somebody with a little bit of, at least give me a chance, make me competitive, you know. And the funny thing about it is I love the Giants, but I want to see them more competitive in just different positions. Like wide receiver, I'm not worried about it because Eli's going to make them famous. But when I look at the cornerback, I in my mind, now mind you, I'm just a fan and it's just something that I've always seen, but I would love to see them to actually go a little bit taller instead of just the average 5'9", 5'10", maybe close 5'11". You know, maybe I'm wrong in my thinking. Maybe you can shed some light for that.
Now, JD, look, I'm sure the Giants would love to have a bunch of 6'2 burners with great hands at wide receiver and a bunch of 6'2 corners that can bump and run with fast wide receivers down the sideline. Unfortunately, guys like that just don't grow on trees. I mean, they're not that many, you know, besides the Seahawks, who have a couple of them, you know, 6'2", 6'3 corners that can hang with these wide receivers. Because while they might be good against a guy like Calvin Johnson, if you line up a 6'3 cornerback across from Victor Cruz you know, and he's so good in and out of his breaks. It's going to be tough for that big guy, you know, with his hip flexibility and all that other stuff, to stay with that smaller, quick wide receiver. So while the Giants would love to have these big, strong corners and wideouts, unless they're talented enough and good at the things that, you know, you have to be good at those positions, you're not going to sign someone just for the sake of hype.
Hey, thank you for educating me more.
JD, no problem. Thanks for the call, my man.
Hey, thank you for being there, man. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. 201-939-4513. JD doesn't call a lot, but when he does, he always brings his A game, and I appreciate that. Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Chris, what's going on?
Hey.
Chris, what's up, pal?
I was just wondering, with the Giants carrying an extra quarterback this year, and it looks like they're probably going to carry one more defensive tackle than they did last year,
okay,
who gets pushed off the roster bubble, and what special teams, who would fill those special team spots, since they're going to have to make room for somebody to let somebody go?
That's a really good question, actually. I would have to look at last year's 53 at the end of the season and try to figure out who I would knock off. Let me just go by memory here. I think you might see one less. That's a good question. I think they actually carried six wide receivers for a lot of the season last year. You'll probably get that number put back down to five, especially with the extra quarterback, assuming they do go with three, which is, I think, what they're going to do. I think you might see one less wide receiver. They'll carry five instead of six. I mean, they didn't carry a ton of linebackers last year, so I don't think you can reduce that number at all. They didn't carry a ton of safeties. You know, that's actually a very good question. I'm not sure where they'll have to cut. You know what? Once we get closer to training camp, I'll take a look at the roster, and I'll see where I think they're going to finish position-wise. But I agree. I think they'll probably carry one more defensive tackle, unless they make some very tough decisions on guys like, you know, Sean Rogers and Marvin Austin. And you probably are going to have, you know, three quarterbacks instead of two. I think that's a good point.
My other question to you was, obviously, there's a very heated linebacker, you know, training camp battle about to emerge. Do you really see Dan Connor overtaking Mark Herzlich, who is, you know, already in the system, knows it a little bit, versus the other linebackers who, you know, might want to step up, Jake Masao, you know, Paysinger, everybody else?
Honestly, in my opinion, I think Dan Connor will be starting in middle linebacker opening day. That being said, I do think there's a chance and an opportunity, even if Connor beats out Herzlich in the middle, for Herzlich to play that strong side linebacker spot. I think he has the size to do it. I think he has the downhill speed to do it and the toughness at the line of scrimmage. So I think that if Connor wins the middle linebacker job, and I think he will, that's just my opinion, I think Herzlich could still fit into this linebacker core on the strong side.
All right. I just want to say thank you for all your time. I actually got to meet you, Mr. Toomer, a couple other players. I go to a Giants game every year. I listen religiously.
Chris, appreciate that, man.
I'm the crazy one with the tattoo, with the Giants tattoo.
All right, Chris. I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, without you fans out there listening and doing all your stuff, we wouldn't be here. So much thanks to you guys every morning tuning in, calling in, and being part of the Giants.com family, because we wouldn't have any of this without you guys paying attention, participating, calling in, and doing all this good stuff. So we thank you for that. However, even people here at the Giants need some vacation. So, the Giants organization, in the summer, in the offseason, for Memorial Day weekend and the 4th of July, are kind enough to offer us four-day weekends. So we're off tomorrow, and we're off Monday. And quite frankly, we're going to be off next Tuesday as well, because that's the Giants' annual golf outing to support the New York Giants Foundation. So, hate to say this, with everything going on, we will not have a show Friday, we will not have a show Monday, and we will not have a show Tuesday. My apologies, but people here at the New York Football Giants need some R&R as well, and we will be taking it over what is looking to be a pretty dreadful and raining Memorial Day weekend, looking at the very depressing weather forecast this morning, which kind of stinks. What can you do? Oh, the other thing, by the way, for you people not paying attention out there, on today's show this morning, the cicadas are starting to come out of the ground. I don't know if you guys heard about this thing, but there's this flying insect called the cicada that every 17 years, they come out of the ground and they mate. And for the other 17 years, they live underground, they eat tree roots or something like that. And then every 17 years, they come out and they mate over a period of a couple months, I think, or 4 weeks. Don't quite remember the duration. And then they disappear again for another 17 years. Well, this year is year 17. So you are literally going to see, along the East Coast, 1 billion, with a B, billion of these things all over the place. They don't bite. They don't kill plant life. They're pretty harmless. They make a lot of noise, apparently. That's part of their mating process. Lovely, I know. So they're going to start coming out. So this could be a pretty interesting summer in the New York, New Jersey area. Apparently, they're starting to make their appearance this weekend. So another good thing to look forward to. Summer full of bugs like that. One more time before we say goodbye, the news on Henry Hanoski. He will have surgery on his MCL, medial collateral ligament, and a chip fracture of the plateau in his knee. And he hopes to be back for the start of the regular season. He'll have surgery on Friday from Dr. Russell Warren, the Giants team physician. So I call that medium news, not terrible, which would have been an ACL out for the year. Not good, though, which you would have obviously preferred to avoid surgery. But considering he was carted off, all in all, not terrible news to the Giants in that regard. We'll have you updated on that and all their injuries for the Giants on Giants.com. And, of course, make sure you check out Giants.com for the updates on what's going on with Akeem Nicks as well. So we'll have that for you. Make sure you check it out. So we're off the next 3 weekdays, so we're not going to be back with you until next Wednesday when we have more OTAs here at the Timex Performance Center. For our entire crew at Giants.com, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your holiday weekend, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday.